went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost. Better keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Huntoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. The best way to get a hold of me is to call my cell phone directly. That's area code 845-561-2225. Again, that's 845-561-2225. I will be the one answering the phone, so if you want to talk, that's certainly the best way to do it. You can email me directly if you'd like to be a little bit more passive, or maybe you're not in a position to talk. You just send me an email at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. I do my best to answer my emails. Sometimes I answer my emails immediately. It's interesting. I've had a history of patients who are just like, I sent you an email and I got an immediate response. Like, I'm always sitting in front of my email. Well, sometimes I am sitting in front of my email. I'll just simply respond to you. Yeah, those are all the different ways to get a hold of me, but it certainly would be my pleasure to answer your questions and give you the understanding that you need to take control of your health. This show is called When Your Health Matters. It's not up to me when your health matters. It's up to you when your health matters. And I'd ask you not to sit in suffering and masking symptoms with toxic chemicals known to have harmful side effects. I'd rather you actually get to the source of your problem so that you don't have to have your problem. We have so many health concerns in this country that we shouldn't be having, and it just saddens me that all my brothers and sisters are out there suffering needlessly. And if they come get enlightened, if they come get an education, if they come get empowered, they can exercise their birthright, which is to be healthy. And the man behind the scenes that helps me do that, his name is Mark Sabin. He's the man who puts the topics together, asks the questions, and chooses the primary direction that we go in when we're doing this show. He's in studio with me. He's across the studio from me, and we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome back to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you, Doc. Rick, you know, it's fun because, you know, I set out with a series of questions that I have in mind to speak with you about, but of course, it's a conversation that we have each week, and as the conversation progresses, we're able to move with where that topic takes us, and it's much more interesting that way, I think.
I believe so.
So today I wanted to talk to you about a topic that I think matters to just about everybody, and some people are still have in their bodies their gallbladder. Some people have already had their gallbladders removed. But before we get into the difference between having one and not having one, what is your gallbladder? Where is it, and what does it do?
Well, your gallbladder is probably one of the most important organs in your body related to your digestion. It sits right at the base of your rib cage, just a little bit to the right of the base of your sternum. That might be an area that's a little bit tender if you have gallbladder issues, assuming that you still have a gallbladder. What is the function of the gallbladder? It's there to concentrate bile that the liver produces. The bile is there to help to break down and emulsify and digest and separate out the fats into simple components so that your body can absorb them for various health benefits like anti-inflammation, like hormone precursors, pro-inflammatory hormones, because sometimes you need to have inflammation to let you know there's a problem, so that's a benefit at that point. What does it do? It basically is our, from a psycho-emotional perspective, it is our chief decision maker in the body. We think in our brain. We make all of our choices in the gallbladder. And it's the house of, and is affected by 10 very specific emotions, which I'm sure we'll get into as we move forward in this conversation.
Yeah, so it's not just a storage organ for the bile.
It's a concentrator for the bile, but you know, the body has to discern in the small intestine what it needs and what it doesn't need, and the gallbladder is the chief executor of giving the digestive system what it needs, and it actually is what controls digestion.
So with all this said, I mean, this makes it sound like a very important organ, and yet in the medical world, it's often an organ that has been removed for people. So I don't understand the disconnect there.
Well, there definitely is a disconnect there, and the disconnect is not understanding, and that's where the disconnect finds its place in society all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a lack of understanding that leads to people making choices and decisions that have negative consequences. And that's just it. The law of consequences is absolute. If you do something and it's not appropriate, you're going to get a non-appropriate result. Mm-hmm. If you do something that is appropriate, then you're going to get an appropriate result. And the gift that we've all been given is our gift of free will, and we get to use that free will to determine what works and what doesn't work for us. There's no judgment associated with it. It's just simply, this is what the outcome is. You know, if you do this, this is what happens. 1 + 1 = 2. It's like a simple formula.
I mean, it's interesting that you say that there are all these qualities to the gallbladder. How does someone know that? How did that information come to be part of what the knowledge base is?
Well, interestingly enough, about roughly 7,000 years ago, the traditional Chinese five-element theory put all of this together. I wasn't there, so I can't tell you the semantics of what they went through in order to develop it, but I found that it is very, very accurate, and Western medicine has validated it scientifically. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a wonderful researcher. Her name is Candace Pert, and she did a bunch of neurological research related to hormones and emotions and how all of those things work together. And she found that the information that the Chinese had known about for 7,000 years, she was able to scientifically prove that the different emotions are stored in different organs or glands, and they're carried around on very specific neuropeptides. And so there's 10 emotions that affect the liver gallbladder system, and she was able to validate that. And the validation substantiated and also validated the Chinese five-element theory of health.
With medical science saying, well, the gallbladder is not a necessary organ. They remove tonsils, they remove adenoids, but these organs are not necessarily unuseful for the body. The body wouldn't have them in you if there wasn't a need for them to be there.
That's exactly correct. I mean, does it make sense that God would create anything non-essential? Of course, it's essential, and it includes your appendix, it includes your tonsils, it includes your adenoids, and it especially includes your gallbladder.
Mm-hmm. But we can live without these parts, so there's a disconnect again.
Well, yeah, you can live without a left hand, yet you have a left hand, so you should probably keep it because
it
benefits you by having one. But yeah, you can live without sight, you can live without taste, you can live without smell. You can't live very well or very long if you don't have a sense of touch. So there are some things that are more vital than other things, but there's a purpose to all of them. We as an organism, if we go down to the cellular level and we look at a one-celled organism, they have what are called organelles, which are like the organs within the cell of this one-celled organism. And you have the brain of the cell, which is called the nucleus, and you have the mitochondria, which is what helps to make the energy, and you have the, you have the reticuloendothelial system, which helps with certain aspects of the immunity of the cell, etc. And so every cell has a purpose, and every organ has a purpose, and every gland has a purpose, even if we're in our own ignorance, don't understand what the purpose is. If it's there, it has a purpose. Keep it. Keep it functioning as healthy as possible for as long as possible, and then you won't have other health issues as a result.
Well, and that leads me to the question, if you don't have the ability to store and concentrate the bile, how does your body now break down fats?
That is a good question, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah.
You're going to have challenges doing that.
I think
you
so.
You maybe put on enzymes, or the doctor may not have that level of... I can't tell you the number of gallbladder patients that I've had over the years. I can't tell you the number of patients that I've had come to me after they've had their gallbladder removed, and the level of digestive upset that they have as a result of no longer having a gallbladder. And it's interesting. Sometimes they won't tell me that they don't have a gallbladder, and I'll evaluate them, and I'll come to their gallbladder reflux, and their arm will blow out, and I'll say, you have a... And they're like, what is that? I'm like, well, you have an imbalance in your gallbladder. And they say, that's not possible. I don't have a gallbladder.
That's a pretty big imbalance.
I say, that's the biggest imbalance you could possibly have.
That's 100% imbalance.
You don't have one. That's a problem. You know.
I would think so. Yeah, so now if you can't break down your fats, what kind of problems does that lead to?
Consequences, tremendous consequences. You're not going to be able to make hormones. You're not going to break down your essential fats. And if you don't have your essential fats, what are they called again? Essential fats. Why? Because they're essential. If you can't break down your essential fats into those essential free fatty acids, then your body isn't going to be able to perform its normal functions, like making hormones, like making prostaglandins, like promoting inflammation, like promoting anti-inflammation, like promoting normal healing, like having the necessary building blocks in order for something to heal.
So what kind of circumstances or situations or symptoms would a person who has had their gallbladder removed notice about those kinds of things?
Everything just doesn't work properly. Most importantly, their digestive system just doesn't work properly. They may have gas, they may have bloating, they may have indigestion, they may still have reflux, they may have a hiatal hernia. In fact, they probably do have a hiatal hernia. They may have diarrhea, they may have chronic constipation, they may have irritable bowel, they may have colitis, they may have ulcerative colitis, they may have diverticulitis, they may have any of these things. They may have parasites. In fact, I'm pretty sure that if they've had their gallbladder removed, it's because they had a parasite, which we talked about last week.
Oh, yeah.
That probably is the reason for why they had their gallbladder removed.
So it is now with gallbladders, you hear about gallstones. That's a very common thing that people have. Is that a reason that people would have their gallbladder removed?
That depends on who you talk to. If you talk to a gastroenterologist who does gallbladder removal surgery, that's a perfect reason to do $100,000 surgery and make an exotic home payment. of sorts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are certainly circumstances, and I sometimes poke fun at or I make fun of what goes on in our healthcare system. What I want the listener to appreciate is that healthcare providers who are truly trying to be healthcare providers, who aren't in it for the money, who aren't in it because of the political garbage that goes on, and they're not just simply trying to make a paycheck. They're not simply just trying to keep the doors open, but they really are true healers, and they want to help their patients. Nobody does anything wrong based upon their understanding in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody was educated to believe that the gallbladder is a non-essential organ, so what they do for a living is they remove gallbladders in people that have gallbladder problems like gallstones or potentially a blocked bile duct because a stone got wedged in the bile duct itself. If a person is precipitating out calcium oxalate within their gallbladder and it's solidifying to become a gallstone, uric acid stones, those kinds of things, if they're having that go on, they've got other problems, and it happens to be the gallbladder where the symptom's showing up. Now, if a gallbladder is completely, totally not working properly, it's been impacted with stones for a very, very long period of time, they're having necrosis within the gallbladder, yes, that's one that needs to come out because that's one that wasn't addressed appropriately in a timely fashion. And end-stage disease, you got to do something about that. But what medicine is trying to do now is they're trying to monopolize and they're trying to get a hold of people sooner rather than later. And my thought is before you go down that path without knowing what your consequences are of doing whatever it is that they want you to do, would it hurt to have a consultation with somebody like me?
I think it would be a great benefit if you could find a way to avoid going through that kind of surgical outcome.
I have lots of experience helping people who've been told to have their gallbladder removed, fix their gallbladder, keep their gallbladder, to the point where their medical doctor doesn't believe in the results of the ultrasound that they themselves are administering because they didn't believe the ultrasound tech that did the first evaluation says that can't be right. Let me do it. I've had patients whose medical doctor has done that, literally gone in and done the ultrasound themselves because they can't believe that the person 3 months, 6 months ago had a gallbladder full of stones and now their gallbladder is clean as a whistle. And you know what's sad?
Hmm.
My patients have tried to have the conversation with the gastroenterologist to say, well, this is what I did. Maybe you should talk to my holistic healer and get an understanding. And everybody in the office says, well, that's very nice that it worked out for you. We're happy for you. Have a nice day.
Yeah, I've heard that kind of
thing. They don't call. They don't ask questions. It's like, you know what? Well, if we go in that direction, then we're basically saying that what we're doing is a complete waste of time, and we don't want to cut our nose off to spite our face.
It really goes to the heart of who are you there for.
Right. If you're there for the patient, you're going to do what's in the best interest of the patient. And in the past, I've referred lots of patients to lots of specialists. And the patient comes back and says, if you ever send me to a specialist like that again, I'm never coming back. So I've had to learn how to figure out how to fix their situation myself. Wanting to spread the wealth, wanting to send you to the expert, wanting to do what's in your best interest. Well, what I've found over the last 30 years is what's in my patient's best interest is what I can help them understand, mm-hmm. not necessarily referring them to somebody else. And that's not to say that I still don't make referrals, but I qualify my referrals long before I actually make the referrals.
Well, you know, one of the things that would seem to me that if you were going to go and have your gallbladder removed, that's probably some hours of surgery, right? And then you're out. Your solution, you were saying 3 to 6 months later, you're cured. Now, those people, we live in an instant gratification society. So people sit there and have their gallbladder removed, and the next day they're out of the hospital.
Yeah, it's a same-day procedure.
Yeah. So, this is a differential that people I think that if you talk to somebody who removes gallbladders, they're, well, you know, you don't have the time to have 3 months or 6 months or to go through this process.
Well, at the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily have to take 3 or 6 months. I'm just saying if I had a patient come into my office whose gallbladder was one big giant stone. The gallbladder
There's no way to pass that.
There's absolutely no way to pass that. And their doctor was like, we have to take your gallbladder out because you got absolutely no room in your gallbladder. And the patient had the wherewithal to say, you know what, I want to think about this. And in the process of thinking about it, they ended up having a conversation with another patient of mine. And the other patient said, listen, you should give Dr. Rick a call and just at least have a conversation with him. Surgery is always waiting for you. Go have a conversation with him. He saved me from having surgery. So this particular gentleman, his whole gallbladder was one big stone. I'm not going to fix that in 3 months. I'm not going to fix that in 6 months. We had to put him on a supplement regime that was going to gradually chip away and reduce that stone to the point where now we get an ultrasound. Now we see that the stone is much more manageable. Now we see the stone is actually broken up into a whole bunch of little tiny stones, and it's not one big, huge stone. Okay. Now we can flush that gallbladder. Why? Because we've prepped it for the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But somebody who just has little tiny granules or even just sludge in their gallbladder, that's not going to take that'll take 4 weeks to fix. Okay, that includes the flush. Mm-hmm. Fastest has ever happened, somebody was ready to do a flush. They had no idea how to do a flush, so I taught them how to do the flush. They did the flush over 4 days. Great. 4 days, they got to keep their gallbladder as opposed to going in and having an arthroscopic procedure to where they'll take it out with three
forever.
Little holes into your belly for forever. You know, my mom should probably shoot me for having this conversation on the radio in the area that we live in, but whatever. My mom suffered with gallbladder symptoms for 35 years. Before she had her gallbladder out. Now, she didn't tell me she was suffering with gallbladder issues. She also didn't tell me she was going to have her gallbladder removed till the morning she was going in for the procedure. Because the way that my mom deals with her health issues is if she's already made a decision in terms of what it is that she's going to do, she doesn't want to have that conversation with me because I'm going to give her other things to consider. She's already considered all of it from her perspective. She's already made up her mind. So I don't want to take away from the decision that she's made. So she calls me the morning of, I'm going in, I'm going to have a little procedure. You're done. Okay, is everything okay? Oh, everything's going to be fine. It's a same-day procedure. And I'm like, okay, so are you going to stay overnight? No, I'll be home tonight. I'm like, okay, so I'll send the flowers to your house. And that was the extent. And so she went and she had her gallbladder removed. And the doctor that did it said, your gallbladder was really gnarly. How long has it been a problem? And she's like, probably for the better part of 35 years. And he's like, well, you actually helped yourself by waiting as long as you did because we used to crack you open from the top of your sternum all the way down to your pubic bone to take out your gallbladder. Now there was just three little tiny incisions that aren't even going to leave a mark. You know, so it's much less invasive, and it's,
right.
You know, so the quality of the procedure has improved tremendously.
The healing is different.
And the consequences of having your gallbladder removed are still just as severe now as they were, you know, 35 years ago.
Right. And just the recovering from the surgery itself is less.
Right.
Well, this is a great conversation, Doc Rick. We need to take a short break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to continue this conversation about the gallbladder.
Absolutely. And if you have your gallbladder, or even if you don't have your gallbladder, I'd like for you to consider the following commercial, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. For all the latest on improving your health, I'm here to answer any questions in helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Why do I keep getting sick? Why can't I get healthy? Why do I have to take all these medications? You want to be well. You want to know why you're not. You want answers. Now you can find out why by asking Dr. Why. Dr. Why is a holistic healthcare provider who has dedicated his life to uncovering the causes of health concerns. Dr. Why has traveled the globe, studying the best natural ways to help you to wellness. He'll identify the root causes of your health concerns, get you the answers you want, and help you to health in a natural, drug-free way. Schedule a visit with Dr. Y today. He'll take the time to get to know you and your concerns. He'll explain your health imbalances so you can understand them. He'll help you form a plan to return you to health and balance naturally. If you're tired of feeling sick and a lack of results from prescription medications, you need to ask why, and you deserve answers. Dr. Richard Huntoon provides understandable answers and gives sensible solutions without relying on drugs or surgery. Schedule your consultation today by calling 845-561-2225. That's 845-561-2225.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. Best phone number is my cell phone. It's the one that's with me all the time. You'd be calling me directly. The phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. And when have you ever had the direct phone number to your doctor? I mean, I just, you know, if you don't appreciate my willingness to help you by giving you my direct phone number, then I don't know what to tell you. You can email me. You could always email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concern that you have. And today, Mark and I have been talking about a very essential organ that medicine thinks is non-essential, known as your gallbladder. And I hope you've been appreciating why it is essential. And Mark, you have more questions.
I do. Well, the first one that comes to mind after what we were talking about at the end of the last segment was, what if you have your gallbladder removed, which is, since it's such a common surgery, so many people you must see must have had their gallbladder removed. Is it possible, and how are you able to treat somebody that's had that to better health?
Well, again, it's about supporting the body to do what it's supposed to do. There are things that you can give the body that will help to get the liver, which you still have, mm-hmm. and the liver is what feeds the gallbladder. And so if you have a liver that would feed a gallbladder that's no longer there, then you can have the liver still feed the system. It becomes a question of, how do you support the liver to do and maintain the integrity of what it should be doing, even though you don't have the gallbladder that helps to finish everything off. There are certain nutritional supplements. There's certain reflexes that we can reset. There's certain like I said, nutritional supplements we can add to the system that will help to mimic at least the functioning of the gallbladder, mm-hmm. to maintain the integrity of your digestive system and help make the brain feel like, you know what, the system's doing what it's supposed to do.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned near the top of the show today was that there are 10 emotions that associate with the gallbladder. So that's quite a few emotions that we go through. And, of course, we are emotional beings, you know, and how we experience the world, we experience largely through our emotions. It's kind of where, how we register what's going on with us. So a lot of times, even with a health concern, you may notice first off that you just emotionally don't feel quite right. You may not even notice a physical symptom. So can we talk a little bit about the emotions that work with the gallbladder and how they affect the gallbladder?
Oh, absolutely. And the 10 emotions are these, the following 10 emotions in no particular order. They are a combination of what affects the liver and what affects the gallbladder. But since the two of those organs work together, you can't affect one without affecting the other. So the 10 emotions are anger, mm-hmm. resentment, mm-hmm. Stubborn. People who are stubborn, that's a gallbladder issue. Emotional repression, meaning you're holding your feelings in. You're not expressing how you really feel because it's very unchristian to tell people how you actually feel, kind of thing. Depression, people who are depressed, that's a gallbladder issue. Mm-hmm. People who want to get rid of their depression need to come talk to me and I'll fix their gallbladder and then their depression will go away. They don't need lifetime medications. Indecision, people who have difficulty making a decision. And it's funny, I'll ask a patient, do you have indecision? Sometimes, not really, not all the time. I don't know. I guess maybe I do have indecision. It's just like every answer was indecisive, you know. So that's always funny to hear that. I'm like, so you don't think you're indecisive? No, not all the time. No, I don't think I am. Maybe. You know, so indecision, frustration, aggression. When things just seem non-rational to you, when things feel irrational, that's a gallbladder emotion. So those are the 10. Anger, resentment, stubborn, emotional repression, depression, indecision, irrationality, frustration, and aggression.
So those were all what I would consider to be sort of on the negative side of emotions.
Well, they are. Those are negative emotions that affect how the gallbladder functions. So when you feel those negative emotions, mm-hmm. it's going to impact you negatively. Okay. When the gallbladder is doing what it's supposed to, which is making sound decisions without having it assesses the information. It makes a rational decision as a result of that. Boom, the gallbladder is doing its job. It's not an issue.
So is this a chicken and egg situation where the emotions tell you that something's wrong with your gallbladder, or the emotions lead to something being wrong with your gallbladder?
Yes.
So both.
If a person has those chronic emotions, I know they have a gallbladder issue. And experiencing those emotions will make you feel like you have a gallbladder issue. So if the gallbladder has an issue, you're also going to feel more of those emotions. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the gallbladder isn't processing things in a balanced way, making good, solid decisions and being done with it and moving on. You know, the most successful person in the world is the person who makes the quickest decision.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's the wrong decision, the fact that they've made the decision moves the energy forward, and they can then take whatever decision they've made and make it right. So just make a decision and move the ball as fast as possible forward, and then adjust the decision to make sure that the decision is right.
Now, a lot of times when you have these negative emotions, you may have a stomach ache. You know, you'll feel, have a gut feeling, your tight stomach, or nausea. Those are also related to the gallbladder issues.
They are. The nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. Those are all gallbladder
They're
symptoms.
They're all gallbladder.
So when I see that catchy jingle on the television, my wife will say, "Hey, baby, they're talking about your gallbladder again." I'm like, "That's exactly correct, sweetie." You know, my wife recognizes that now. Why? Because I've talked about it a lot with a lot of different people.
Well, it seems to be one of the primary issues that people are having with their health.
Yeah, indigestion.
Indigestion and gallbladder issues.
Right.
And
why? Because the gallbladder is what balances and coordinates our ability to digest. It's your decision maker. Your body decides whether it wants what it's ingesting or if it doesn't. If it doesn't want what it's ingesting, it will throw it up immediately.
Right.
Okay, so throwing up is a gallbladder, a very strong active gallbladder. If it tries to throw it up but it doesn't come all the way out, that's called reflux. That's a gallbladder issue. If it pushes it a little bit out into the lower part of your esophagus and you get lower esophageal burning like a Barrett's esophagus or something along those lines, that's a chronic problem, but it's for the purposes of what we're talking about. If you get gas and bloating and indigestion, that's gallbladder, okay? Any kind of verping, that's gallbladder, okay? And if the gallbladder isn't strong enough to send it out from where it came from, then it'll liquefy it and run it out the other end as fast as possible. There's your diarrhea. Those are all gallbladder issues, every last one of them.
Now, there are a lot of other issues that relate to the gallbladder, too. I mean, in traditional Chinese medicine, the gallbladder meridian, which is where the energy, I guess, goes to the gallbladder, right? It goes way up in your head and covers quite a bit of your head. So a lot of, I think you've talked about this before, that headaches are related to gallbladder issues.
Yes, they are. As a matter of fact, I just did a class this past Wednesday specifically on headaches and how it relates to gallbladder. And it's interesting, I had an experience when I was teaching this class once where there were 20 women and there was one man that came to the class. And it's during the day, and it's typically for people who are not presently working or senior citizens. It's my gift to society in terms of just offering these classes free. And so this guy comes in and he's all full of piss and vinegar, and he's just, you could just tell that he was angry. His anger precedes him. And he comes in and he fills out my survey with everybody else in the class, and we're here to talk about headaches and how headaches are related to the gallbladder, and all headaches are gallbladder sourced, this, that, and the other thing. And he starts an argument with me. He says, "I've been to the top specialists and nobody's ever told me that. Where do you get this crap that you're shoveling right now?" And I said, "Well, it's based on a 7,000-year-old principle that's been around for over 7,000 years, and I've practiced it in my office for the last 20-plus years, and it's valid, which is why I'm teaching the information." And he was like, "Well, I'm not staying for this crap. I'm going to go find a real solution for my headaches." And he walked out. And the nice thing was, is A, he was out of the class.
Yeah, that was okay. Easy.
The other interesting observation was the fact that here's a guy who's angry. he doesn't have any problems expressing his anger. But here's a guy that everybody in the room, all the ladies, they came up and they consoled me afterward. They were so wonderful. They were so heartfelt. And they were just like, well, Dr. Rick, I just want you to know that we understand what you're saying. And obviously he has an anger issue, which is why he has headaches. And the fact that they put those pieces together just validated everything that I was saying. And that the sad part was that he was so stubborn in his way of thinking that he wasn't even open to hearing new information, which would have solved his problem.
Which relates to gallbladder. Exactly. I mean, that was one of the emotions. It was stubbornness,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And the anger and the frustration and for galled.
Uh-huh.
You know, all of that. He exuded all 10 emotions, except for the emotional repression. He did not have any problems expressing his emotion.
Yeah. Now, there are different kinds of headaches. I mean, you hear of sinus headaches. You hear of, you know, headaches in the front of your head, back of your head, migraine headaches. All these are related to gallbladder?
All those are related to unresolved gallbladder emotion. Okay, and it just is a question of where it manifests. Like you said, the meridian for the gallbladder itself starts right next to the outer edge of where the eye meets the temple. Okay, uh-huh. That's your gallbladder one point. And then it does. It zigzags back and forth three times on the side of the head before it goes down through your digestive system, goes down the front part of your thigh, right straight through the center part of your knee and out through one of your toes. That's the gallbladder meridian.
That's long.
It is. It's actually one of the longer meridians in the body. And so when the upper part of the meridian is out of balance, you will get headaches. When the middle part of the meridian is out of balance, you will get digestive issues. When the lower part of the meridian is out of balance, you will get knee pain. So all knee pain, all headaches, and all digestive issues are all gallbladder. And when you understand that and you can recognize it and you can address it, then these problems don't have to become lifelong chronic problems.
Mm-hmm. Now, would everything that would be along that meridian relate to the gallbladder? Or because there's not always a direct organ relationship to the meridians, is there?
Right, and that's the understanding of how the body communicates and being able to recognize the signs or the symptoms. So symptoms would be what the body's producing. Signs are what the body has manifested. The understanding of how the body's trying to communicate and what's the story the body's trying to get resolved is why it produces various symptoms and why the body produces various side effects when you're taking a medication. A side effect is your body's way of telling you that that's the wrong solution.
This not working for me.
Right.
Well, this is another great conversation. And every week we have these great conversations. This one was focusing on the gallbladder and the meridian and the emotions associated with it. Very important conversation. We need to take another short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I have a few more questions I'd like to ask you about the gallbladder.
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. And if you are listening and you have more questions or you like more understanding, please tune back in after this short commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Dr. Richard Huntoon, your host for When Your Health Matters. If you have health concerns and would like to help them in a natural, non-drug way, I personally invite you to come to a free healthcare class held at my office every Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. For a complete list of topics, go to spineboy.com or call 845-561-BACK or 561-2225 to get information on your next free class, When Your Health Matters.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. Our best phone number is my cell phone, which is area code 845-561-2225. Again, that's 845-561-2225. Or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. You can come to a free healthcare class every Tuesday evening at 6:30. I'm just interested in answering your questions and giving you the understanding that you need. I know that's new and different for some people down here, but I can tell you sincerely from my heart, I'm just interested in helping you to better health because I'm tired of looking at people suffer needlessly the beginning, middle, or end stage of their life and just having their lives ruined because of lack of understanding and lack of proper care for the conditions that they have. You don't need lifetime medications. You don't need surgical interventions unless it's absolutely necessary, and you shouldn't do it as an experiment or as an exploratory or as a let's see what happens kind of thing. You should take better care of yourself, and that's what the whole purpose of this show is, and I appreciate you tuning in. So, Mark, you have more gallbladder questions.
I do
you?
Have more gallbladder. You know, it was such a fascinating story that you told about that gentleman who came to your class and exhibited so many of the emotions associated with the gallbladder.
And he was blind to his situation.
Completely blind. And I'm sure that most everybody has encountered a person like that somewhere in their lives that is just that anger-filled. But it is hard for people, I think, to accept that emotions can have such a direct relationship on the organs in their bodies. So how can you be sure that your ability to make decisions, or that your feelings of resentment and frustration and anger can be traced back to the gallbladder imbalance?
Well, if you want to read the scientific literature, I'd ask you to go get a book called The Molecules of Emotion, which was written by that woman I spoke about mm-hmm. in the first segment, Dr. Candace Pert. She'll go over all the scientific evidence that supports that. You could come into my office, and I can just give you a hands-on demonstration to show you how those emotions locate specifically to your gallbladder.
Really?
And I'll do it, I don't know, you want me to do it 1,000 times before you start to accept it to be true? Fine, I'll do it 1,000 times. You want me to do it 10,000 times? I'll do it 10,000 times. You want me to do it twice? I'll do it twice. I don't know how long it takes somebody to wrap their head around the reality of what is, and I don't try to rush people through the process. I'll take whatever time we need in order to help you to get it for yourself. I don't need you to get it. You need you to get it. And when you get what it is that I'm offering you, okay, prepare to hear the song Amazing Grace, because you will now be found, and you will you'll be able to see. And so it's like, okay.
Well, it's interesting because you talk about, you know, you basically, it's kind of like, you know, if you're at a party and the wait staff comes along and they have hors d'oeuvres on their chair, on their tray, and they say, would you like one? And it's an offer, and you can take it or you can refuse it. It's up to you.
That's true.
That's not typically the way I would go to a doctor, and the doctor would treat me. The doctor would say, this is what you need to do, and that's what you have to do, and
we're
going to do
it.
We're doing it.
Right.
This is a very different way of
yeah, that's
treating
called enforced
your patient.
Treatment.
Yeah.
Okay, they're enforcing it upon you, and you don't really have a choice in the matter. And that itself is going to create gallbladder stress. Why? Because they're taking your power away from you. I'd like to make sure that you are empowered, which is why I will have a conversation with you and why I will give you the understanding that you need so that you can make the right decision.
Mm-hmm. Now, along with the emotional component of gallbladder issues, there can be also structural problems that associate with an imbalance to the gallbladder. And as a chiropractor, do you often see people presenting with like hip problems or disc problems that issue to gallbladder issues?
Absolutely, and that's the thing. The brilliance of what goes on in my office, I don't know if brilliance is there. I guess there's brilliance associated with it. The foundational basis for what it is that I do is I just demonstrate relationships. I show the different relationships. So I'll have somebody touch a particular reflex point, and it'll create a weakness. And I'll do that until they get the fact that, well, what is this? I keep touching here, and my arm keeps going down, and I show up as a weakness. What is this point that I'm touching? Good. Now they're asking. Good. Now they're ready to receive the information. Well, mm-hmm. that's your gallbladder. Oh. So what does that mean? If I touch my gallbladder reflex point and my arm goes down, does that mean there's a problem in my gallbladder? Exactly. There's a problem in your gallbladder. Well, what is the problem in your gallbladder? Well, that's the next set of questions that we're going to ask, okay? So now I'm going to have them hold a couple of things, okay? And one of the things may not create a weakness, one of them may. And it's like, okay, well, if they're still holding their gallbladder and the gallbladder by itself is weak, if I add something to the equation that's associated with the gallbladder, will the gallbladder stay weak or will there be a change, Mark?
generally a change if it's
right. It should go from weakness to strength.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know the relationship between what is causing the gallbladder to have an issue is what it is that we introduce to the equation. Now, if I take the gallbladder off the table and they just hold on to the thing that negated the gallbladder weakness, and now that itself creates a weakness, okay, mm-hmm. then I know this is an irritant, and if we now bring the gallbladder back in and now it goes strong, well, now we know this is the irritant that's affecting the gallbladder, mm-hmm. and now we have a sense of what it is that we need to do in order to address why the gallbladder is being a problem. And that can be emotions. It can be due to too many toxins. It can be due to things that create allergies. It can be structurally. It could be physiologically. It could be nutritionally. Or it could be spiritually. And those are the seven pillars that we talk about that I make reference to on my website. We did the Seven Pillars show on more than one occasion. It's the seven pillars of health. And it's about looking at all seven different pillars to figure out, well, what's going into this particular problem? Address the pillars that are part of the problem. Leave the other pillars alone because they're not affecting the problem. And once you address all the pillars, now the problem's gone.
So let me just delve a little bit, because you introduced the idea here of the way that you use muscle testing to ascertain what's going on with the body, to engage in a direct communication where the body now uses its own intelligence, because we talk a lot about the emotions of the body and the intelligence of the body, the gallbladder being a decision maker. Well, we don't normally think of the gallbladder making decision. We think I'm making the decision out of my brain.
Right.
But a lot of times, how do you make a decision? Well, it feels right. Well, where does that feeling come from? Again, we go back to this notion that emotions, we are emotional beings, and that our emotions really govern how we come to understand what's going on with ourselves.
Correct.
In this case, what you use, you engage a way of being able to address the body where you're not dealing with the brain giving you the information. You're dealing with the body giving you information, and you do that by testing muscles in the body, and they're either test strong or normal, or they get weak. And by putting this associated point, you talked about the gallbladder, you touch the gallbladder point, and now suddenly the muscle that just a moment ago was strong suddenly has become weak. People don't really have an easy time necessarily correlating how that can be useful information.
Right, and that's why we take the time to explain it to them before we do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I take the time to go over it several times until they have their aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
When they have their aha moment, then I know I can go forward. But until they have the aha moment, there's no point in going forward, because now I'm just dogpiling on the rabbit, and now
right.
it becomes overwhelming, and then they can't process all the information, and then they don't get any value out of it, which is why I take the time that I take. Your initial exam in my office takes an hour and a half. Why? Because there's lots of education that we have to give you.
Mm-hmm.
The process of me helping you understand what's wrong and coming up with a solution takes about 10 minutes.
But understanding how
I got there,
yeah.
understanding why it's valid, and understanding what we need to do as a result, that takes an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. So this educational process that you engage in people, because this, again, for most people coming out of a traditional medical world, this is not the way we understand how things work.
No, not at all.
And so what we have to do is learn how it is that you're getting information, obviously you've acquired a great amount of experience and knowledge from your training, from your studies, and from your practice.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also things that enable you to get information specifically in that moment, so that the when you have a patient in your office, you're not dealing with something that is predicted or that you bring to the table. It's all based on
what's going on.
What's going
on
in that moment.
Right. And, you know, like this woman that I had this past week who's had all these different issues, et cetera. And you know, she's been through lots and lots of therapy, and she's, you know, been abused sexually, physically, and mentally and emotionally and all these other things. And she's a very type A personality kind of thing, where she's rigid and she tries to control stuff and all of that. And her willingness to allow me to engage with her at a at a place that was safe for her mm-hmm. allowed me to have only so much access. And I recognized that about, I don't know, 3 minutes into the process was the fact that, okay, I needed to earn more of her trust. I need to explain more. We need to have more conversation. We needed to have more back and forth. She's not ready to allow me to evaluate her, even though she said, yeah, we can go on to the evaluation. That was her unconscious was controlling the circumstances. And helping somebody to understand and give them the level of understanding, once they have the understanding and you see the light go on in their eyes, it's okay, well, good, now we can move forward. Until I see that light go on in their eyes, I'm going to continue to either ask them questions or give them more information and wait for them to ask more questions. And then when they don't, you know, and I'll keep adding, do you have any questions at this point? Do you have any questions? And I'm always trying to answer their questions even before they have the understanding that they have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I just assume answer their question before they get to it so that we can just continue to move forward and not necessarily have to stop. But I'm happy if they need to stop. And all of this has to do with satisfying how their gallbladder is functioning or how it's not functioning and addressing it appropriately so that they can, A, keep their gallbladder, and B, digest and assimilate food and not have headaches and not have knee pains and not need surgical interventions and all of those kinds of things.
What do you do if somebody responds to what you're showing them with fear? Because they're afraid this is like some kind of magical, strange thing that you're doing. How do you respond to someone like that?
Well, I just reemphasize the fact that this is, honestly, it's pure science. It's absolute scientific. Okay. And I just let them know. I'm like, okay, let's do some more examples of it. Okay. Let's do a simple test to show you that your body responds with a weakness when something is not true. Okay, so let's say the person that I'm working with is a female and her name is Mary. And I'll say my name is Mary. And the response that we get is that she tests strong because she's emotionally congruent with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I'll say my name is Steve. And she'll say, my name is Steve. And her arm will go down. And I'll say, why do you think that your arm went down? I said, do you understand how a polygraph works? A polygraph works based upon energy. Okay. And they hook you up with different leads and they check your respirations and they check your heart rate and they check other physiological indicators. And it's on this little graph. And we've all seen them on television. And when they ask a particular question and it starts to spike, that's a neurological response of disharmony within the body based upon the question. So when we ask a valid question and the person has a valid response, their body will facilitate, will test strong, and that's a good indicator. If we ask them something that their body doesn't know how to answer, or they answer incorrectly, or they're trying to mislead or hide mm-hmm. something, okay, then their body will inhibit. Why? Because at the three levels of the brain, at the neocortex, which is your conscious brain, at your limbic system, which is your emotional brain, at your reptilian brain, which is your brainstem, which is your basically survival mechanisms. When all three of those are in agreement, your body tests very, very well. When there's some level of disagreement within one of those three levels, the body will inhibit. And so all we're doing is we're getting feedback. And when they understand the lie detector test or the polygraph testing and how that works, then they kind of start to relax. And I'm just like, listen, this has nothing to do with this. Is just a tool that we're using to ask your body questions, and we can ask at whatever level that you want. If you're comfortable, we can go in this area. If you're not comfortable, we'll never go into that area. Okay. And it's based upon the person. And what I've found over the last 30 years is when I explain to them and I show them how simple it is and I show them how easy it is for us to figure some things out, and then I sometimes find things that they didn't tell me. And I'll say, you have a problem with this, don't you? And they'd be like, well, how would you know that? Well, your body, look, this weakness right here, this tells me that that's a problem. And now that your body's told me that that's a problem, I'm asking you, tell me why, how long this has been a problem. And you're sitting there saying, well, how would I know that? And I just told you, if I touch this area and it creates a weakness, that tells me it's a problem. Okay? I'm not getting divine guidance. I'm not in league with Lucifer. I'm not getting it from any, unreputable source. I'm getting it from your body. Your body is physiologically responding to the questioning that we're giving it, and it's just responding. And all of that is coordinated and controlled through your gallbladder, and that's why we're talking about gallbladder today.
Well, thank you for that in-depth look at how this process works for people, because I think it's one of the things that really differentiates your practice. And the beauty of it is that people can bring any questions that they have around their health. It's not related to, I mean, we're talking about gallbladder specifically today, but what we just discussed, that would relate to anything that you need to discuss about your own health.
Right. I had a very quick story. I had a woman come into my office, so I was there for her significant other, and she basically, when I was done, I said, "Do you guys have any questions?" She's just like, "I think all this is BS." She actually said the word, but she's like, "This is BS." I said, "Well, what about it's BS?" She says, "Well, if what you're saying is true, then you should be able to find my problem without any issues." And I was like, "Okay, what's your problem?" She's like, "Well, I'm not going to tell you." I'm like, "Okay, so you're not going to tell me that you have a problem, but you just want me to find it." She says, "Well, if what you're saying is valid, then you should be able to find it pretty easily." So I was like, "All right, throw caution to the wind. I don't know anything about this person. I'm going to evaluate them very quickly, and we're going to." And so I got over to her spleen, and her arm went down. So I did some other testing, and I went back to her spleen, and her arm went down. And I went back to her spleen without saying anything about four or five times, and every time I touched her spleen point, her arm went down. Mm-hmm. So finally now she's asking me a question. Mm-hmm. She's like, "Why does my arm keep going down?" I said, "Well, you have a problem there." She says, "Well, what's there?" I said, "Your spleen." I said, "You have a problem with your spleen." She says, "No, I don't." I said, "What do you mean you don't?" She says, "I don't have a spleen. It's in a garbage can somewhere." I was like, "Well, tell me about that." She said, "I ruptured my spleen, and they removed it." And I said, "Well, I just showed you what your problem is, and you didn't even tell me that." I said, "Do you agree with it now?" And she's like, "Well, I'm going to have to think about that." And, you know, it's
still doubtful. Yeah.
Right. And it's just, she's not somebody who needs to be in my office. But those people who are ready, who earnestly want to understand what their issues are, I want to help them. And so I appreciate you, the listener, for tuning in. I want to thank you for letting Mark and I go back and forth with this particular topic. I hope you have your gallbladder. If you don't and you'd like some help with it, or if you do and you want to make sure that you are able to keep it as your chief decision maker, I would love to have the opportunity to have a conversation with you. So I want to thank you for tuning in this week. I'm going to ask you to tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath, and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that.